And praise God. We are in the throes of a Bible study that I thought was going to be pretty light and easy, but it is more intense than what I dreamed. It really is. The more I look at it, the less I feel worthy to teach it. Amen. As we're talking about, do not be deceived. And the only way that we can be deceived is not just to know the truth of God's word, but to apply the truth of God's word. And that we've gone through these things. What is truth? And Jesus said he is truth.
Recording in progress.
What is the spirit of truth? The word of God is truth. 2 Timothy, how to rightly divide the word of truth. We've gone over those quite a bit. Now, we got into this, the armor of God, to put on the armor of God. Last week, all we talked about in the armor of God was like the first five words, right, in Ephesians chapter 6, and I should have written it down, but I didn't. Hold on, I zipped right by Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, I'm still in 5, 6. And last week we just talked about, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we talked really in-depthly about what it means to be strong, what it means to make that stand, how to do it, how to be strong in God by exercising the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And always coming back to God, right? God, Jesus is the one that empowers you. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you a desire to look and to find. And if you seek him with your whole heart, you're going to find him. We know that from Jeremiah, but we got to diligently seek him. And as we diligently seek him and we get God in the right focus, because I like to think of it like that, it's hunting season's right here at us, and you got to get your sighting put in just right on your scope, because you don't want to take a shot and wound something. I want to take a shot and, well, in archery, you know what sin is? In archery?
Huh?
Missing the mark.
That's what sin is. I don't want us to sin. I don't want us to miss the mark, because there's a high calling in God on us to keep in focus. The only way that you don't miss the mark is to practice and to make sure that you are sighted in properly.
So you wouldn't want to hit the deer in the ear instead of the head.
Actually, you don't want to hit him in the head at all. There is a spot right here in the neck, you know, that you have two major arteries that run up and come into one that right below the ear that would make him bleed out pretty quick. Or in the shoulder, in the crutch of the shoulder, between the shoulder blade and the elbow, it makes a little V.
Or presidents, right?
Yes. Yeah, amen. Or if you're directly over them, straight down in between the shoulder blades, it's a good place. But besides all of that, as a Christian, to walk in the holiness of God, before you put on the armor of God, there's things that we need to think about, what to take off first. I thought of, this morning as I was getting ready to do this, God gave me a new picture, and it's a pretty gross one, right? But I like gross pictures because it makes us think, all right? So if I put on these nice clean clothes this morning, right? What if I hadn't taken a bath for a week? Right? I hadn't showered, I hadn't brushed my teeth, I hadn't put on any deodorants or nothing like that. These clothes might block the scent for a minute, but before long, you're going to start stinking. Why? Because I didn't take off the filth before I put on the new clothes. If we're going to put on the armor of God and not take off the old man and his deeds, then really we're not properly doing the armor of God. And then I thought this morning, well, I was taught all you got to do is pray on the armor of God every day. Just pray on the armor of God. Anybody been taught that?
Yeah.
Right? Just pray it on. That's all you got. It's kind of like body spray, axe or whatever they call it. Axe is something I thought you cut trees with, but I guess it's a smell that men put on. And so anyhow, you try to just spray it on, and then all of a sudden you're better. As I was looking at the armor of God and going through scripture on it, the Bible, I believe, shows us, and we're going to look at that today, that we need to take off some stuff first. Go ahead, sis.
Well, it comes to mind that we can't clean ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
But What we can do is recognize that we're in need of being made.
Yeah.
So before we put the armor on, it's repentance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Confess your sins.
Confess your sins. Yeah.
Because he's the only one that can cleanse us.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. He's the only one who can cleanse us.
He taught that in the dietary laws, too.
Yes.
About being a clean person.
Yep. Yeah. Amen. To wash your hands, all that kind of stuff. You say, well, wash your hands? Well, yeah, wash your hands. In Romans chapter 13, and starting in, I'm in 5, but if you open your Bible real quick to Romans chapter 13, and then we're going to look at Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4, and then we're going to look at Isaiah 59 and Ezekiel 22. So all of those things I said to get us started here. Ezekiel chapter 13. I'm still flipping over there.
Ezekiel?
No, sorry. It will be Ezekiel sooner or later, but right now it's Romans chapter 13. And so Romans 13 and 13. Well, actually, I guess we'll back up a little bit before, because we got to talk about some things, how to walk in love, how to be prepared for the armor of God. Because remember when David was going to go out into the field and fight Goliath, and Saul said, put on my armor? And he says, it doesn't fit me right. I need to use something that fits me, something I'm used to. Well, how did David get used to the sling and the stone? He practiced with it every day. He wasn't used to the mill, the chain mail. He wasn't used to the big spears and the swords and stuff like that. He took the tools that he had that God gave him, and he prepared with them that way. And again, it wasn't David's accuracy in throwing the stone. It was the power that God put behind the stone that a man of faith threw. All right? And so get those things squared away. So in verse 12, it tells us that night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Okay? Who is us?
That's right. It's our position to take it off.
Yes.
It's ours.
It's I mean, God gives me the power.
Yes.
He wakes me up to the filth that's in my life, and he gives me the ability to shake it off.
That's right.
All right, to take these things off. So I need, the night's far spent, the day's at hand, let us therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Whose responsibility is this? It's us. Amen. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know that we cannot do this without Jesus Christ. All right, so I'm not saying it's all about works, but I'm telling you there is a huge responsibility on my part.
Right.
All right, on my part.
That's because he doesn't make us obey.
Thank you.
We have to choose that.
We have to choose it. And in that, I've got to look at both sides of me. Do I want only chocolate chip cookies? I mean, chocolate chip cookies are really good.
I do want
them. All right. Or do I want the things that are really going to help me grow?
Right.
Now, chocolate chip cookies will make you grow, right? Out.
Yeah.
It'll make you lethargic. Sugar, as I'm learning, is really, really bad for you. Right? And don't get me wrong. I've
it's
known
not a
sugar.
Food.
It's not. Natural sugar is not as bad. Right, but that highly modified sugars, processed foods are really, really horrible for you. But anyhow, processed religion is really, really bad for you. Okay, but wholesome religion is really, really good for you.
To think you can just sit back and let the Holy Spirit do everything, it removes your responsibility to abiding with Him. You are called to control your own vessel.
Yeah.
Control your own tongue. This is your end of doing. It's not. So it's not work salvation. It's you're doing it because you're saved.
It's the choices you make, but an addict needs the power of God.
Yes.
Amen. So it is the submission to His will and recognizing that we need Him desperately.
Amen. It's the lordship part of it, right?
He'll tell you when it's time.
Yes.
To do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right, there.
He'll tell you when it's time, now
yeah.
you do it.
If you walk in some place that you know is going to tempt you, it's sin.
Right, yeah.
Why does he say in John 15, if you keep my commandments, if you abide in me?
Right.
Because it's your responsibility to do these things.
Yeah. Go ahead, Alan.
For 13, 14, the illustrations given back in Acts 19,
yep.
verse 19, many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together.
Yes.
And they burnt them before all men. Mm-hmm. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed.
Right. But what did the people have to do? First, they had to hear. Then they had to repent,
right.
and then they took action.
That's right.
All right, these things are wicked to me, so I'm doing away with it.
Yeah.
What is wicked in our life that is preventing us from really using the armor of God the way that the armor of God is meant to be used?
Yeah.
Okay, because when we look on this, because he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, here in this portion of Romans, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation comes by faith, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so when I hear the word of God, I say, all right, God, I believe what I have heard, not just with my ear, but with my heart. I believe that. Will you come and supply those things I need? And God says, granted, that's I got you. I'll do that for you. And then as you ask for that, supply those things what I need, then God starts pointing out things in your personal life. Right, and I've used this illustration a lot about my hands going up in the air like a ladder. Here I am. I said, I want God. God's way up here.
Yeah.
And God says, I got you. I love you. You come underneath my shadow. And then as I come underneath the shadow, he says, I want you to be a little closer to me. And I say, God, I want to be a little closer to you. He says, well, this is what I want you to do. Obey. God. I don't know if I can obey. You're holy. I'm not holy. How can I do that? Well, you do that by faith. Not faith in your ability, but faith in his ability. So I take the soap off of the wall, right? My soap hangs on a wall. It's in a little basket in the shower. That way it doesn't melt, right? And I use bar soap. I don't use that sissified cream soap. Anyhow, I use lava.
It's important to know that.
Yeah, it really is. And so, because when you use the illustration, it's really important. So you take the soap out of the container, and you've got to lather it up, right? Before, because soap in itself, I mean, it's clean. It's the word of God. It does cleanse you. But you've got to put it on your body. You've got to use the wash rag. You've got to wash the sweat and the grime. And then God tells you, God tells you to wash behind your ears, right? Not just this dirt that can be seen on the outside, but then there's dirt that's really not seen by everybody, and the crud in between your toes, right? You've got to get that out too. So God tells us what we need to clean, when we need to clean it. When we first come to the Lord, he says, just jump in the shower. I'll rinse you off. Here, now I'm going to supply you the soap, which is the word of God. Or we'll say the soap as the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the soap as the Holy Spirit. Then he's going to give you the washcloth, which is the word of God. That's the thing that does the actual scrubbing. Right, and then you'll start applying these things on your body in the shower, and guess what happens? You become clean. You become clean because of the word that he has spoken to you. That's what Jesus told his disciples in John, last verse, I think it's the last verse of John 14, where he says that you are clean because of the words I've spoken you. Right, you're clean because of the words that, well, he's talking to Peter about washing his feet.
Yeah.
Right, you're clean because of the words that I spoke to you. So you're clean. Now it's time that you're clean. You come out of the shower and you put on the righteousness. You put on, you've got to dress yourself.
He's telling you to put on Christ.
Yes, you've got to do it.
Like you said, you could be moved by the Spirit, but the Spirit is talking to you, telling you, you need to do this, you need to do that. And if you can disobey that.
Yeah, you can say no.
In Ephesians 4:30,
yeah, come on.
Not
yeah.
the Holy Spirit. Which means he's telling me to do something, and I'm saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's my responsibility to take care of my end of these things because I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. And if I don't, I'm grieving. It doesn't mean I'm not saved.
It means I am grieving something that he wanted to do with me.
And he wants you to do it then.
That's
he doesn't
right.
want you to put it off. Well, tomorrow
That's
I'll
right.
get this right.
Yes. Yep.
You play a role.
You play a role in it. And so, but I've heard it said, and I was taught this when I went through the Liberty Bible Institute about the armor of God, and they had the cute little Roman soldier up there with the helmet and the belt of truth and shield and sword, all those kind of things that you see as you, I don't remember, know if y'all remember this, I remember it from going to church as a wee little kid that my sister used to make me go to, right, just to get us out of the house, but there's a felt board, and Todd Agnew has this song about Jesus on the felt board, right? And so they had these
Sunday school lessons
on the felt board, right?
Daniel
and so
the
it was the yeah, Daniel and the lions, and so they only had these little felt creatures, things that you put on. But there's the armor of God. There's the soldier in the armor of God, and they take the little pieces and they put it on. And you come to the understanding as a young person that if you're not careful, we'll graduate into grown people,
right.
that this is just an imaginary thing that you put on without any personal cleansing.
Yeah.
So to properly put these things on, there's some personal cleansing. The Holy Spirit will tell you, I need this. If you're truly going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the wiles of the devil are plain, right? They are the works of the flesh. You can find that in Galatians chapter 6. I'll just flip over there real quick. Things that I need to put off, because we will get to Colossians. But Galatians chapter 6, when you get to the works of the flesh, read those out.
I think it's 5:16.
Yeah. Galatians 5:16.
Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, various emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, unbelief, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, which I tell you before. As I have also told you in contrast, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. All right, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, those which do such things, what's the next 5 words? Those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that means I have an opportunity not to do such things, right?
Or if you do, to clean yourself
or
up.
To clean, amen. Right. It's not that you won't ever do these things, because I do covet. I'll be honest with you. I see something, the newest crossbow. Man, I looked at that.
These things are all equal.
Yeah, amen.
So just because it's only covetousness in your mind.
Right, yes.
Covetousness is witchcraft.
And Jesus took those outward sins and he brought them inward when he said, even if you look at a woman. You know, so he actually brought the outward sin. He said, even if you hate somebody, you're committing murder. So he brought it inward
right.
to the Spirit.
That's in the Beatitudes,
right.
Matthew 5, I think,
right.
is where he's talking about that. So there are things that I need to put off as best I can. Now, I know for a fact that I will never be in the position until I die that I won't have murder in my heart. Okay, I am of.
But you care about.
I care.
Like
amen.
It's just there, and
you don't act on it, right?
You don't like it.
Yes,
you're aware of it.
Yes,
you wouldn't even be aware of it if you didn't have the Spirit.
Amen. Right, and so drunkenness or partying, right?
Yeah.
Those and so he says, and if you do such things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well. That sends a shiver down my spine. When I look at those lists and I find out how short, and what this makes me do, it makes me refocus on God.
Yeah.
Right? I need to get my telescope out. I need to get God in focus, because when I look through it, Wendy uses this about the lenses a lot. When you look through something with the wrong lens, you'll always get the wrong picture.
That's right.
Right? If we look at Jesus as the good luck charm in my pocket. I said the prayer, I'm going to heaven no matter what. Or do we look at him as the example that leads me into righteousness, that I will be able to... All of these things that we just read are wiles of the devil.
That's right.
In Ephesians, about the armor of God, we're told to stand out against the wiles of the devil. So those wiles, all these things, they're just the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That's
right.
What they are.
It's right. He attacks your flesh.
Amen. And he attacks my flesh.
He said those that do such things. That's present.
Yes.
Right. He's not talking about your past.
Yeah, not did.
Yes. You could have, in fact, Paul, I think somewhere, says all these things we did in our past.
Right.
You know, and he makes it clear, too, in Revelation 21, he says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things.
All things.
The overcomers inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful... and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars.
Yeah.
So to say you've never, well, I haven't done any of those. Well, you've lied.
Mm-hmm. How about cowards? Isn't cowardly, no cowards?
It's right. Yeah, no, it's right. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have God's grace on you.
Amen. Because all of these things we're not able to obtain in and of our own flesh.
Right.
I cannot do these things without the power of Christ. I can't do things without a firm belief of faith in the Word of God that says, greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world.
Yeah.
Through Christ, I am an overcomer. Through my faith, I'm an overcomer. So before I try to put on the armor of God, first I do, like I think Doug said earlier, first I need to come to the Lord, confess my iniquity, confess my sin.
Be clean,
be washed by the Word. Because our enemy, we looked at this in 1 Peter, our enemy, he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he uses all of these wiles, he uses all the works of the flesh, he uses the pride of life, he uses our mind to fight against our spirit. Right? There is a battle going on. And before I don the full armor of God, which we're supposed to do, before I put that on, I need to check myself.
Right.
Before we take communion, right, we're supposed to check ourselves, right?
And you better.
And you better, because he says you'll die if you don't. Or there are some that died. You could. You know, a lot of sickness because you don't. And I'm not saying that folks who are sick, that's what they did. Because that can be blown way out of.
What this man do, his parents or him, didn't to be born blind.
Right.
Yeah, neither. It was done that the glory of God might be known. The power of God might be known.
Anything when you see it.
Amen. And so in those things, there it shows me that there's a responsibility that I need to have. Amen. There's a God does all the work. God supplies all the armor, but I've got to put it on. And before I put it on, I need to deal with the old man that I might be able to stand. Because you can have all the armor on you and you don't know how to use any of the armor.
That's right.
It doesn't do you any good.
Jesus told us to pick up our cross daily.
Daily.
What did he do on the cross? He took the sins of the world on the cross. So we're to, like he said, we're not told we're not going to fail. We're going to fail. But when we fail, if you have a broken and contrite heart towards him, he's got that covered.
Yeah.
And it is your responsibility to walk with him as best as you can so that when you do fail, he covers you by his blood.
Amen.
He taught all that in the Old Testament.
Yes.
He did.
Yes.
In the wilderness.
Yes. He took care of them, but they needed to do what he said.
Anybody says there's a different gospel in the Old Testament has got their head in the sand.
Now, another place about putting on, because we're talking about putting on, taking off. Before we put on the armor of God, we need to take off some stuff. Need to deal with some things. Need to take a shower before you put on your clean clothes. Okay? That's the simplest way I could boil that down. So in Colossians, if you look at Colossians chapter 3, he says, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, all right, when you are risen with Christ, what are you? You're born again. Amen. You have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been risen with him. You're seated on the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, all right, for which things sake the wrath of God come on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bound nor free, but Christ is all and in all. All right, then we're going to talk about putting on as the elect of God. What do we have to put off before we put on? Because put on is chapter 12, verse 12, and it's verse 10, right? Put on the new man. What did I have to put off first?
It's the old man.
The old man. I have an old man in me. I have an old nature that I have got to keep under control. Now, can I do that in and of myself? It's a simple two-letter word.
Holy Spirit.
I cannot do it by myself.
Holy Spirit.
I can't stand here and say, by my power, I keep the old man under control. So I need to stay connected to Jesus Christ. I need to stay connected through the Word of God. And as the Holy Spirit gives me direction to battle this spot in your life, or actually, in my life, I've noticed that I go around the same mountain over and over and over again, like all the time. I'm walking around this big circle. And the same entrapments are there, maybe in a different color and a different thing. But as I'm walking up, I say, ooh, that's where the snake was the last time. Man, I must be getting pretty close. It's not right there right now. But dude, that's where it was, so I need to really pay attention. And as I keep walking around that same mountain, that same problem with my flesh, God says, watch out. He sends the Holy Spirit that guides me into how much truth? All truth. All right? And then God shows me. He says, all right, Curtis, you're coming close. You're coming close. Stop. Do not touch the unclean thing.
He makes a way to escape.
There you go. He makes a way to escape. Now, it's up to me to either take that way or to reject that way. I can say no.
Right.
I can say no, God. I want to do that. But we need to be very, very careful when we do that. It's not that you lose your salvation, but if I bear iniquity in my heart, my prayer will not be heard. Go ahead, sis.
And the ultimate thing, the ultimate renewing of the mind and sanctification, is that we go from doing things because we are obedient to doing things because we love the Father
yes.
so much. And truth, we begin to recognize the things that our flesh is drawn through are going to bring us down. And we want to love God.
Yes.
So our faith grows that that's the relationship he's looking for. Not mm-hmm. for me to say, oh, I can't. We do that at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
right? We do that throughout our lives in that, okay, I've got to be careful of this. But why? Because I don't want to grieve my Father.
Amen.
I don't want to grieve my Father.
We don't want to. Well, you just read Ephesians chapter 4. Grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Affection. Your affection.
Yes.
On things above.
Amen. Set your affection, your heart's desire. What you want to, what you really want to please.
Yeah.
The flesh for a moment.
Right.
Sin is pleasurable. And it is. Sin is a barrel full of monkeys.
It has to be, or nobody would do it.
Right.
That's right. And we do lose the battles between the spirit and the flesh every once in a while.
Yeah.
We do.
And so in that, what do you do? How do you get out of that? Like Wendy said, I've got to love. What is the one of the two commandments that fulfills all the other commandments?
Love the Lord.
God with all your heart, your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm. So when I really love God, I don't want to do anything that's going to break my relationship with Him. Jesus said, if you love me, what do you got to do? Obey my commandments.
Well, what did Jesus say about forgiveness? If your brother comes and asks you forgiveness, you have to accept it.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. When we sin against God, we don't just poo-poo it and say, oh, well, it's my flesh.
Yeah.
We come to Him and we say, forgive me for that.
Forgive me for that.
Right.
And so in that, put on therefore as the elect of God. Now this isn't for anybody. The world can't do this. The unsaved can't do this. You have to be the elect of God. This is the only way that it works. You know, is being born again.
There's a prescribed method to get there.
Yes, amen. There's a direction. There's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, but there's a broad way that leads to destruction.
Right.
And I think Broadway is in Hollywood, right?
Verse 1 there, that's our seek those things,
things which are above.
That's
yes.
That's our responsibility to seek the things that are above.
Amen. To set our affections on those things that are above, not on the things of the earth. Do we truly consider ourselves dead and our life is hid in Christ Jesus?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes. Sometimes. I find myself realizing that more and more the further I walk with God. The better I get God in focus, the better I see His love for me and my love for Him. The more I see that in the right perspective, the more I desire to die to the old man. The more I want the old man to be put to death, to be done away with. I don't want it so bad that I'm willing to jump out in front of a truck. Right? Today. But there's coming a day that this old man will be done. Amen? And I'm going to stand before God naked. Except for Jesus Christ. The propitiation.
That's right.
The covering of God. That's all I want on me. That is indeed the armor of God. Go ahead, sister. Go ahead.
Concerning washing.
Yeah.
The only way we get clean is with friction. And this, the Word of God, is... we have to apply the friction.
Yeah.
We don't like it, but we still have to do it.
Well, me and that fellow that I was talking about earlier that I asked for prayer, I ain't going to say his name because I don't want to do that on the internet. Anyhow, you've got to be willing to set underneath the friction of the cleansing power of God. Hearing those things that are uncomfortable to the flesh, because God wants us to die to those things that are uncomfortable to the flesh.
Right.
He desires that of us. He desires us to kill it. He desires it. He wants it to be. We should be so uncomfortable in this world system. This world is not my home.
The old man and the new man hate each other.
Yes.
They hate each other. My flesh hates wants to live in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But my spirit hates the flesh.
So...
Right.
In this putting on, now we're going to talk about putting on some things. So I need to learn through the Word of God what to contain, all right? Because I can't truly put it off as long as I'm in this flesh, right? Now, I cannot feed it. Joshua said this to me many, many years ago. I may have even heard it before then. There's the old Indian. There's two wolves that are in me. And which one's going to live, the good wolf or the bad wolf? And the witch doctor said, whichever one you feed the most. So the only way that, thank you, Lord, for this picture. The only way that I'm going to stop sugar from making cancer in my body, stop eating sugar. Right? The only way that I'm going to control my blood pressure, my diabetes, and all that kind of stuff, is what am I putting in me? That's on the physical
side. But it's not just that, because remember Asa.
Yeah.
You've got to go to God.
Hey, thank you, my brother.
And you need to
yes.
go to God besides doing
mm-hmm.
what you do there.
Well, and even in that, you can't do that without the power of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You can't go to God without God's direction. No man has ever sought after the Lord on his own.
Right.
You know that? Those folks who said, I sought God. God sought you first.
That's right.
He looked through time and space, and he saw Wendy and said, I'm going to seek that girl. I'm going to touch her heart somewhere in her life, And she's going to know the truth, and that truth is going to set her free.
He makes it clear that he must draw you.
Yes.
You don't get to just
You don't make up your mind someday and say, I'm going to be a Christian.
I'll get saved tomorrow.
Right.
Well, no.
Oh,
it's
no.
not going to be that way.
Yeah, you don't even know what tomorrow brings.
Yeah.
So put on, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved bowels of mercy. I need help there. All right, I need help over there. I have a real hard time with mercy. I really do. I mean, I wish I had a better grip on it than what I do. But I'm a very, well, y'all have heard me say, I'm very arrogant. I'm very self-willed, right? I don't have a over amount of compassion for ignorance. I just don't. I'm confessing that to you as a sin, right? That I need to get a hold of this better. I need to get a hold of that through the power of the Holy Ghost. God showed me this week, that Curtis, you're not really merciful. You're not merciful the way that I've showed you mercy when you were yet in your sin.
That's a fault.
That is, yeah.
When you do it in an instance, it's a sin.
Right, amen.
But your tendency to that is the fault.
Is the fault,
that you confess to one another.
Right, amen. That's why I'm doing it, you know. And the only way I'll get better at it is as y'all pray for me. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to be sending more what I consider ignorant people into my life that I'm going to have to deal with them.
Thank you.
It seems, yes, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
The thing is, going back to the lens,
yes,
you were not raised with mercy.
Amen, that's true.
And so that's the lens you have had to judge others, and now the Word of God is renewing your mind.
Renewing my mind,
and
amen.
I was raised, I remember times of receiving mercy.
Right.
From my father, things that I thought I was going to get punished really bad.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And I had learned, you know, my lesson, and he recognized that. I had mercy. So when I know that feeling of having a great weight and then having my father forgive me of that. So I have that. I always appreciated that, and I want to offer that to others. You didn't.
I didn't have that. You're right.
So
yeah, mercy wasn't something that was taught to me.
That's what's so beautiful about fellowship.
Uh-huh.
Is we all have different lenses and different experiences, and we teach each other. It's,
yeah.
And God's Word. It's beautiful.
And these are beloved bowels. Go ahead, my sister, Kayla.
So I think God is putting a desire in your heart, which is to put on.
Mm-hmm.
The part of the putting off is that you have to listen. And you're listening to that conviction. And every time that you now go forward and do it wrong, the Holy Spirit's going to say, not so.
Yeah.
And so for us, a lot of times our growth or our putting on is actually failing. Because we have to see the wrong that we're doing and confess it.
Yes.
And then as we listen, we begin to realize that in order to stop it, turn around the train, you have to stop it first.
Yes.
And you don't necessarily understand what it means to do it a different way.
Yeah. And you don't stop a train on a dime.
Putting off sometimes is failing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, well, I can't do this. I can't change. I can't want to. That's Satan telling you. But
right. We
have to listen to that small voice. And a lot of times in the beginning, it's just like, you didn't do it right.
Yeah, again.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then you'll begin to see a different way to do it because you've done it wrong so many times. You're like, oh!
Sooner or later, the light comes on.
I like what she said. It's in your failures that he's drawing closer.
That's because you can't put it on once and for all.
Right.
You need to put this on every time you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Which might be, it's like our clothes. We sometimes change them in the day. Sometimes they're good for the day.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to constantly change them. Until the resurrection.
And you
we
get
are
that
finally clothed with eternal clothes.
Right. When you get the perfect clothing.
And he likens us to children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we are going to make, our children are going to make mistakes. We love them.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to make mistakes.
Yeah. So mercies. Bowels of mercies, the most inner part of mercy, all right, and kindness. So mercies and kindness, they kind of run hand in hand, all right? I find it a lot easier to be kind to somebody than to be merciful to somebody. All right, I can be kind to you.
That's the difference between your outward behavior and your inward thoughts.
Amen. Right.
I'm not thinking too merciful, but
right.
I know what you need to do. This,
amen.
So here we go.
I know you're in the situation that you're in because of the decisions that you made. That's not mercy. But kindness will, I'll give you a couple bucks. I'll stop and buy you some food. I'll give you what you need, you know. But see, if you just do the kindness without mercy, you're really doing nothing. You've got to have all of these things in line. You be kind out of bowels of mercy, right? And I don't know. Y'all probably got that down pat. God's still working on me. Praise God. And this humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. All right, I'm going to read through it because we could pick on each of these. Each of these means so much to each and every one of us. And as I look at God, I see how much I need of all of these because they're not really they're there, but they're not flourishing in my life yet. Amen? You understand, Kevin?
Yeah. Bonnie looked at my Bible to see where we're at, and I said, I don't know where we're at.
Oh.
So I missed what you just said.
Okay.
Colossians 3.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Okay. And you could, anytime I'm talking, you say, where are you?
So, I mean, it's because we come short.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows we're going to come short.
Yeah. And bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which we talked about last Sunday. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. All right? We're not going to get into wives, submit yourselves in this point in time, anyhow. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God. So, how do I achieve not peace with God? That's at salvation. How do I achieve the peace of God in my saved body?
Stay in tune with God.
Stay in tune with God. Well, if you just go back to verse 12 and work your way down, right? To have the peace of God actually working, ruling in my heart. That's just not have it on you. It is controlling your heart, ruling.
Well, those verses are the second great commandment.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. These are commandments.
These are commandments.
That's right.
All right? These are not high suggestions. These are things, if you want to have the peace of God, my peace I leave with you, Jesus said, John 14, I believe. My peace I leave with you. All right? That peace, not with God through salvation, because when I humbled myself before God, he called my name. He made peace with me. I made peace with him. Now, I want that peace, that joy of God to rule in my heart. That means I must struggle against the wiles of my flesh. Okay? This arrogance, this pride, this lack of compassion, the lack of real love, the lack of charity in your heart, my heart. So I can't talk about your heart, I don't know it. All I can do is talk about this heart that beats in this chest, this spirit that lives in this man.
Well, the peace is knowing that he is the author and finisher of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
That he is going to complete the work that he has begun. And that we put no trust in the flesh, right?
Right.
But we put the trust in the Spirit of God. And that he is going to finish our course. And no matter what we go through in this world, he is at the end of all things.
Yeah.
And he will never let you go.
He has begun a good work in
That's
you.
That's right.
will see it to its completion.
Yes.
Fulfill it to...
Yeah.
I have peace in that.
Right.
I have peace in that. That
mm-hmm.
He will complete the course for me.
Right. Well, Jesus says, I go to the Father. My peace I leave with you.
That's right.
My peace I give to you. Continue.
That's what he said every time he met with the apostles after the...
Yeah. Every time an angel shows up on the scene, he says, peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
John's letters also said peace.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to achieve that peace, to actually have that peace in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of hard times, in the midst of trial, in the midst of defeat, right? The agony of defeat. Get the right size shoes. No, sorry.
I think the only peace in this world is in here.
Amen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have it outwardly.
Right.
Yes.
But when you're right with God, you just...
Yeah.
You're at peace.
Mm-hmm.
You're not worrying and panicking about everything that's going on around you. You're just knowing that this is the way it's drawn up. He's going to finish this.
Yeah, there's nothing going on he's not aware of, right, or could do something about if he wanted.
If God be for us, who could be against us?
Right.
Right.
Go ahead, Gayla. Okay.
I wasn't quite finished my thought, but I will say this. So another aspect of that is ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
We can be against ourselves.
Oh, come on. Yes.
And often are.
And often are.
And we can actually get mad at God. We're like, you want me to do what? And you're asking me to do what? So we can actually take away our own peace.
Yes.
And we can wallow in some bad thoughts, anxious thoughts, or whatever, as well as... the struggle of trying to be godly. There's that other aspect where we can just discourage ourselves, and we obviously it's listening to Satan, or you know, like we've been praying and asking for patience or whatever, and we're not just seeing it and get discouraged, and yeah,
mm-hmm.
We have to take our thoughts captive.
Yeah, we do. I heard something a little while ago, and it made me think of Isaiah chapter 59. All right, God's absolutely in control. Isaiah 59, and just starting in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with the iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None call for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bringeth forth iniquity. They hatch crocodile eggs and weave a spider's web. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which crusheth it is crushed, breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall become garments, neither their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence in their hands. Their feet run to... So you just read through that, all right? Because the whole chapter is about that. But is God's arm so short that he cannot save?
Such an easy remedy to all that, right?
Amen.
It tells you exactly what to, but your heart has to be
yeah.
right. When you confess your sin, you really have to realize
you
really did sin, and it's really offensive to God. You have to have that heart attitude.
When I read 59, I see the wiles of the devil. All right? I see the wiles of wickedness, evil of the day, unrepented people. All right? And he's talking to his people. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to his people, right? So
he's always talking to
you. He's always, the whole Bible is only written to the folks that are his people.
The arm of the Lord, 16.
Yeah.
And then this will take us back to Ephesians 6. But look in verse 16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm, Christ, his arm, brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him.
Keep on 17.
Put on
yes.
righteousness as a breastplate.
Right.
And a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, with clad with a zeal as a cloak. So his hand is always stretched out.
Right.
Repent.
And that reminds me when you said that he saw that there is no man and wondered why there is no intercessor. Ezekiel 22:30. He sought for a man.
That's right.
He's looking for people to really put on the armor of God.
Yep.
He's looking for folks who are trained in the battle, in the spiritual warfare. He's looking for those, because when we get back to Ephesians and we look at the wiles of the devil and we look at how to put on the armor of God, he tells us to stand. Stand ye therefore. Stand. All of these things he's telling us to brace yourself because the battle's coming. These wiles of the devil, no one's calling for justice. That's a wile of the devil. You look at the iniquity that's going on right now around the world. Who's calling for holy justice?
That's right.
Very few. Very few.
I'm not sure it's a good thing to do. Because if you're going to call for justice, you better be perfect.
You better be just.
You better be right.
Amen?
So if you look at verses 20 and 21 in the same chapter,
yep.
I mean, the answer is right there too. It's like, and the Redeemer shall come out of Zion, and unto them that turn from their transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them,
mm-hmm.
saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forever. So you repent. Same gospel in the
yep.
Old Testament, right? You repent, you turn to him, he will put your spirit on you and he will guide you and his words will guide you.
That was John the Baptist. The
Amen.
Exactly. He came to preach repentance.
Yep. The answer's there.
Yeah.
Get your heart right.
But like Curtis said, between verses 2 and 15,
yes.
you have wickedness.
Wickedness, yeah.
Unrepentant people.
Right.
And then from 16 to 21, you have a repentant person, and God puts his spirit on
you. Well, you actually go into chapter 60 after that, which is, again, God doing these things.
Yeah.
It's God. It's God that's able to do this. See, in and of myself there dwelleth no good
right.
thing. All right? I cannot successfully don the armor of God without dealing with the old man. I can't deal with the old man without the unctioning of the Spirit of God. I can't have the unctioning of the Spirit of God without the Word of God, Jesus Christ, dwelling in my heart. So you see how they're all symbiotic with each
yeah,
other?
Yes.
One leads into the other, leads into
the
other.
The first four commandments are about God.
Yes.
Then you get to honoring
yeah.
your father and mother.
Yeah.
And then the last five are the ones that are the second great commandment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So back in Ephesians, all right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand ye therefore. We're going to wait at that comma right there. Stand ye therefore. How many, do you think that Paul was trying to get a point across here? These things that we've talked about dealing with our flesh, let's start thinking of it in a different way. All right, I have to. These things are actually powers and principalities in the heavenly realms against
yes.
my flesh.
Yes.
Or actually in tune with my flesh, which is against the will of God. All right, so how do we make that stand, right? Because there's a realness to this that if we just got into chapter 6, read the seven pieces of the armor and said, put on each one by prayer, and didn't do the preparation
yeah.
to put it on, you'll think that you're covered, but you're really not. It's still folded up in the, you have the armor of God, amen, through the power of Jesus Christ.
And it's the whole arm. You can't put on three pieces.
Oh, thank you, my brother.
Because I got some that are in pretty good shape, but there's others I got.
I need to polish those up
all the time.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kay.
When you're in battle, you stand.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Around. If you run, you're always running the wrong way.
Right.
You're always running. So this isn't the time where you're running the race.
Yes. Amen.
But you're standing.
Yeah.
So that means that you're firm in your thinking.
Yeah.
You're one mind. You're one.
There's.
Focus.
There's where we're trying to get to, Gayla.
Yeah.
Right there. There, that's the key. I'm standing in the power of His might. I'm standing in the righteousness of His word. I'm resting under the arm of His salvation. This is not something within my human body can fight, can even put on the armor of God. So you just put on, I keep going, put on each piece by prayer. Amen. I think that's in there. But when you pray, you've got to believe. You've got to ask by faith, and it'll be done unto you.
Well, standing is standing on God's moral laws.
Amen.
Too, that when,
yeah.
You know, they say, well, if whatever the world's telling you doesn't agree with Scripture, you don't cave to them.
Amen.
You stand. On God's,
Word. Yeah.
And like we were saying about the person today, softening your message.
Yeah.
Well, that's caving into the world system.
Amen. I would rather be hated by the world and loved by God than hated by God and loved by the world. And if there's only, if the river of truth in this congregation is only 7 inches wide.
That's right.
But it's 2 miles deep. I'll take that any day.
That's right.
I'll take that any day.
Isaiah 30 says about that. Now go write it on and before a tape and a table and note it in a book that it may be a time for it to come forever and ever. This is a rebellious people, my children, that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not things, right things, but speak unto us smooth things.
Right.
These aren't Buddhists.
Right.
These are people in the pulpit, in the congregation that doesn't want the meat of the word is saying, hey, ease up on us.
Feel good, church.
That's right.
Keeping to themselves, teachers having itching ears. Right?
Which is fortifying their flesh.
Which is fortifying their flesh.
The
it's not the spirit. Are they getting feel good? Amen. Jump up and down, praise, lift your hands and sway.
Yeah.
That means you're. Let me tell you, folks, this right here, swaying to the music, is not worshiping God.
That's right.
You know what? I heard somebody speak on worship in the Old Testament church, the New Testament church, and they didn't do that.
No.
They got together and the word was preached.
This is worship.
They would sometimes sing a song.
Amen.
But it wasn't about waving around.
Mm-hmm.
It does say lift.
Oh, yeah, it does say lift up holy hands. Oh, no doubt. And there's, in fact, Jesus, when he prayed, he lifted up holy hands.
Right.
When
the context
prayed,
of that is
right.
Not dancing.
Because when I went to many concerts in my day, you know what we'd do with the lighter? We'd hold it up. We'd wave it back and forth. And we'd get blisters on our hands. You
but
know?
Now they do it with a phone.
Now they do it with a phone, yeah. It doesn't even hurt anymore. Back then, there's nothing quite like your Zippo blowing up in your hand. And so, anyhow, I love you guys.
You know, you're talking about putting on the full armor.
Yes.
And we see a great, you said it earlier, a great picture with David.
Yeah.
And Saul says, here, put this on, and it's too big for him.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, David walks out to Goliath, and he says, this day the Lord will deliver thee from my hand, and I will smite thee, and I'll take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air. God's going to do that.
God's going to do that.
He put on the armor.
Amen.
And that was total faith.
That was all faith.
Yeah, right. That was all faith.
He was there with no sword.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your head. All I have is a sling and a rock.
The battle was over.
Yeah.
The battle was over before it even started.
The battle was over when he stepped into the field.
That's right.
Yeah, he was just telling them how it's going to end.
Yeah.
Right.
It's already over. It's already done.
Go ahead, Jeff. Yeah,
it says those who are going to worship in
spirit and truth. Amen. God is seeking those whom would worship.
Yeah.
who would worship. Anyhow, you're the last one to say something. Close us in prayer.
Oh, Father God, we just humbly, as a small congregation, Lord, come before you. I first ask you, Mother Chris already did, that you forgive each and every one of us for the sin that's in us. So we can come before your throne with clean hands and a true heart as true as can be. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, that you love us. We thank you for your word and your faithfulness. And Lord, I just ask that we would, that you would help us keep our eyes not fixed on what other people are doing.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
But on what you're doing. And Father, that we would be where you want us to be.
Oh, grant that, Father.
May not be a place that's comfortable, but that we would be in your will, obeying your word for our lives, for your glory.
Yes,
I thank
Jesus.
You for the weather, and that we can still, at this point today, meet freely and read your word, and hopefully our lives glorify you. In Jesus'
precious name. Amen.